Well, happy Sabbath. Good to see each and every one of you. You know, I've spent some time with you, and I feel like that we're family already. You know, it's good to get to know each other, right? Because we're going to get to spend eternity together. Praise the Lord. And if we make it, there's only one reason. It's because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Amen. It's because of Jesus. If we make it, it's because we're holding on to Him. Because there's nothing good about us. It's all about Jesus. It really is all about Jesus. And so, you know, I've asked Brian this and some others. And they said it was, the pastor sometimes come down. Does he come down and preach sometimes? Is that okay if I do that? Because that way, I just want to praise the Lord with you. I don't want to preach down to you today. I want to talk to you about Jesus, because God is so good. He's been so good to all of us, and He showed up here every single night. Amen. He's faithful, and He's faithful to show up here today too, because we ask Him. We ask Him. We ask God to join us, and so, you know, we've started out this week. We were talking about the fact that God loves us. You know, we need to know that. We need to know that God really cares and that God really loves us. You know, we're trying to make it through this old world, and sometimes we got a picture of God that he's just up there, you know, minding his own business and not really concerned about what everything's going on down here. But we need to know that God is concerned about what's going on in our lives down here. We need to know that God cares when we're going through trials and when we're going through tribulations. We need to know there's hope when we seem to be facing a dark, deep valley that we can't see past. We need to know that there's a God on the other side that said, if you just keep your eyes on me, this road that you're walking down will eventually lead to eternal life. We need to know about that God. And most of all, we need to know that God cares about me individually, personally. And one of the things that we allow the Bible to reveal to us is that God created me for eternity. That there's a special place in God's heart that can only be filled by me. You know, that God is that personal to me, that He loves me, that Jesus died on the cross for me. There's no one else like me. God created just me. There's no duplicate of me. There's only one me. And God knows the hairs on my head. He knows exactly where I'm at right now. And He wants, and He created me for a love relationship. That we could spend time together every single day. We learned that about Jesus. And we also learned that the only way that we learned about how we are to love Him back. We learned that we really can't make ourselves love God. It's not anything we can do. We can't muster up enough strength or enough goodness in us to love God. But what we can do is choose to seek Him. And as we choose to seek Him in His Word and through prayer, and we meditate on God, on Jesus, on what He did for us, especially the cross of Calvary, something happens in our life as we realize how much God loves us. And as we realize how much God loves us, something sparks deep down inside, and the Holy Spirit moves in our heart in such a way the Scriptures are opened up, and we can actually see God, Jesus Christ, dying for me on the cross of Calvary, dying for me personally. And I realize I've got a God that loves me so much, that cares so much about me, that He was willing to die for me just so I could have eternal life with Him. And love bursts forth in me. Because we cannot love until we realize how much we're loved by God. And then we learn, you know, how we are to continue this Christian walk. You know, once we've met Jesus, how can we continue this walk? And we learned that there's no way that God just didn't, He just didn't save us and just say, okay, you're out there on your own now, buddy, to fish and flounder around in this whole earth here. No. He wants to guide and direct you. He wants a personal, intimate relationship with each day. He wants you to spend time with Him. He wants to spend time walking and talking with you throughout your life. He wants you to get up in the morning and invite Him into your life. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. God cannot wait for you to get up in the morning so He can spend time with you, so He can walk with you and He can talk with you and He can be part of your life each and every day. You know, Satan's got all these landmines planted throughout the day that he's wanting to trip you up on. Did you know that Satan is out to destroy you? And he would love to trip you up. But Jesus knows the beginning from the end. Amen? And He knows every single little landmine that Satan has got set for you. And so when we invite Jesus to be Lord of our life, He guides and directs us throughout the whole day. Praise God. What a wonderful God we serve. So, given God loves us that much, He cares so much about us, and given that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, it's all about Jesus. It's all about relying on Jesus. Can we have assurance of our salvation? Can we really have assurance of our salvation? I love that song, Blessed Assurance. We're going to sing that for closing, the closing song. Blessed Assurance. I remember the first time that I had an opportunity to get up in front of a bunch of people. It scared me to death. Yeah, and it still scares me a little bit. You know, because I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this for God, for what He's done in my life. And I just want others to know that there really is a God that cares. And so I don't want to mess that up. But I remember I was so scared, and I was behind a pulpit like that, and I remember completing the sermon, and my hands were just gripped to the side of the pulpit. You could probably see my white knuckles and everything. And then the song Blessed Assurance, I'd finished. And we sang that song Blessed Assurance. And there was a young man like Brian that was doing the sound system and had recorded the entire message and then recorded the song that we were singing, Blessed Assurance. And I was singing that song, and I cannot sing. Now, I really can't. I can't carry a tune in a 5-gallon bucket. And my wife reminds me of that every once in a while because I get excited every once in a while about what Jesus is doing in my life. And I really get excited about some of these good songs that we sing. And I was really letting nothing rip. I mean, Blessed Assurance. And singing the whole song. And on the way home, we got to listen to that song. And all you could hear was a solo of Rick Mercer singing Blessed Assurance. That was one long song. And my family did not let me forget it. They got a big kick out of it. Blessed Assurance. Yes, I was singing that song. But yes, brothers and sisters, we can have Blessed Assurance. I want to read that scripture. Turn with me. Open up your Bible again to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. Let's read this together. Let's read this together. There's something powerful about the Word of God. There's something creative about the Word of God. There's something life-changing about the Word of God, because the Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God has not life. These things I have written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, it's something about Jesus. If we're going to make it, brothers and sisters, it's going to be because of Jesus. It's going to be because of Jesus. Praise God. I want to ask a question before I begin, and I do not want you to answer this out loud. What I want you to do is raise your heart up to Jesus. Not raise your hand or anything like that. Raise your heart to Jesus. If tonight, when you laid your head on the pillow, and you closed your eyes and you went to sleep, and your little heart quit ticking during the night, are you assured that you have eternal life? Reminds me of a little story about a little guy named Freddie. He come to church one day. He was sitting on the front row up here beside Connie, where Connie was sitting here. And the preacher was said, "Who all wants to go to heaven?" And of course, everybody raised their hand. Don't we all want to go when Jesus comes back and get us? Don't we all want to go to heaven when Jesus comes and gets us? Yes, we do. But little Freddie didn't raise his hand. He did not raise his hand. And so it was very obvious. He's sitting right up here. And so the preacher asked it again. Well, everybody raised their hand except Freddie. And so the preacher just had to say, "Freddie, do you not want to go to heaven?" And he said, "Yes, I want to go, but I'm not ready right now." And the preacher said, why? He said, well, I haven't been good enough. I haven't been good enough. You know, that reminds me of a story that happened in my life. I was doing an evangelistic meeting in Northwest Oklahoma, and and a family had come to the evangelistic meeting. They the way they received the flyers, you know, handbills and flyers still work, because what happened is this guy's sister got a handbill and she shared it with her brother who and his family, who were searching for answers. I think they had been studying with several different types of religions. Jehovah's Witness was the life group that they had studied with. They were searching for truth. You know, there's a lot of people searching for truth out there. You know, we are so blessed to know the truth that we understand. We are so blessed that God has given us this wonderful message of hope that we have in Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of people that don't know about Jesus out there. And I want to tell you, it's not their fault. It's our fault for not sharing. Because God has given it to us. It's our responsibility to go share it. Friends, it's not enough to come to church on one day a week and say, okay, I'm good, I'm going to go on about your business while there's people dying and lost out there. Friends, there's people out there that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And so these people, they're searching. They've got an empty spot. There's an empty spot in our heart that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. It really is. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, God has planted a seed of hope, a seed of eternity in each one of our lives. And friends, it can only be filled by Jesus Christ. And God has called you to be His ambassadors, to go out and share the world about this good news about Jesus Christ. Anyway, this family come in the door, and you could tell, an expression we used in southern Arkansas, I don't know if they use it here, is they had been rode hard and put up wet. You could tell the life had been pretty tough on this family. It was a whole family. It was two brothers, a wife, and then their children. And their children were grown-up children. And so, but they come walking in here, and night after night, they sat through this evangelistic meeting. I started out in Daniel, you know, Daniel 2, and then I went all the way through, you know, everything. And each night after night, they would come, and they would sit right out there, just eating it up. Well, then one night, the dad, Jack, didn't come. He didn't come to the meeting. And so I asked his wife, Sandy. I said, Sandy, where's Jack at? Because he'd been so faithful to come. And she said, oh, Pastor, he did it again. I said, oh, what do you mean, Sandy? Well, Jack's got an alcohol problem. See, Jack was an alcoholic. And Jack'd been coming to church. He'd been really trying to be good. But then, you know, something just clicked. You know, when he started drinking, he didn't stop. He just would keep on drinking. He'd keep on drinking. He'd drink up their electricity money, their gas money, their food money. He would drink it all up. That's just the nature. It had a hold on him. And so Jack didn't come back anymore to the evangelistic meetings. But we started a set of Bible studies right after we got through. And just because we had an interest of people coming, 3 days a week, we started inviting people to church, going back through, doing a Bible study. That way we could sit around the table and just love on them. Because that's what they needed more than anything. They needed loved on. And they needed that relationship. And we did that. And so Jack would come to these. And Jack, I could watch Jack. He would be good. He'd be so good. He'd be good. But you could almost see the pressure building up in him. After I got to know him better, you could almost see the pressure just blowing up. And all of a sudden, boom, he would do it again and pull about a 3 or 4 day drunk. You know, over and over, this was his cycle. Well, Jack, but he didn't give up. He would kept coming back. He kept coming back. And finally, he got to the point, we became pretty good friends. And Jack told me, he said, Pastor, he says, I just got to give up. He said, I'm just not cut out for this. He said, I try, but I just can't do it. And it just touched my heart, and he just quit coming. His family kept coming, but he just quit coming. I felt so sorry for him, because this guy really tried. I mean, he tried, but that alcohol just had a hold on him. It just had a hold on him. And I felt for him, so I kept going to his house. I started going to his house, and he lived in a in a little bitty small trailer, and Jack not only drank, but he also smoked pretty bad. And I would go visit him, and I'd almost want to hold my breath the whole time I was there, because, you know, I used to smoke and drink and all that stuff too, but I'm a worse critic now. You know, now I walk in a room and smoke, well, I start coughing and gagging, I get allergic reactions and everything. But anyway, I would go in there and I would talk and I'd speak to Jack. And one day I went by to see Jack, and Jack says, "Rick," he says, "I keep hearing that song." And I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "That." I said, "What song are you talking about?" He said, "The song that you sing all the time." And I said, "I decided to follow Jesus?" And he said, yeah, I keep hearing that song. And so I said, "Really?" I said, "Jack," I said, "God is working on your heart." See, Jack knew something, and I'd share the song. See, I used to have a drinking problem too. Matter of fact, I had a lot of other problems too. Not only did I have a drinking problem, I also had a drug problem. I did a lot of hard drugs. I did cocaine and crystal meth and all that stuff you read about in the paper and everything. I did all that. Had a hold on me. Had a hold on my life. And had a lust problem too. You know, that's what you don't hear about. You know, because people like to hide that. They don't want anybody to know about that. But I had one of those problems too. You know, it had a hold on me. It had a hold on me since I was a teenager. And so also I had a drinking problem. And but somebody come by my house one day, and they asked me if I'd like to study the Bible. Now, see, I always thought that one day I was going to straighten up, and I was going to be a good guy, but it was always the next day. Not today, I'm going to finish today. It's kind of like people going to go on a diet, you know. They're going to go on a diet, but they're not going to go on one today. They're going to go on one tomorrow, the next day, right? You can understand that, can't you? Well, it works the same thing with alcohol and drugs and lust and all these other things. It works the very same way. They're all compulsive habits. And so, see, I had that problem. But somebody introduced me to Jesus, and I found out you've got to come to Jesus right where you're at. You can't straighten your life up. You've got to come to Jesus right where you're at. Right where you're at. And so, anyway, I started studying the Bible, and it changed my life. And I noticed there was something different about me when I would spend time with the Lord every day. I found out that the more time that I spent with the Lord, the better my life was. The more time I spent thinking about Him, and I found out something. It's more to being a Christian than just, I thought going to being a Christian was somebody to come to church for 1 hour a week. But no, God wants an abiding, personal, intimate relationship with me that lasts all day long, every single day, with my thoughts stayed upon Him. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "I will keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me." Wow. And so I said, "Lord, I like this." And so what I did is, I farmed at the time, and I would just stay, and I'd read my Bible in the morning, and I wouldn't want to go out because I knew as soon as I went out there, I'd flop back again, and I would start doing all that other stuff I did because it had a control on me. And so I had a talk with Jesus, and I said, "Jesus, you know, I like spending time with you and everything, but I can't sit around and read the Bible all day long. I got work to do. I've got a family to feed. I've got to get out there in the world. What I do?" And God revealed to me the importance of keeping my thoughts and mind stayed upon Him. And one of the things He did is He gave me this little song that I could sing while I was out and about working. And it's, "I Decided to Follow Jesus." That's a beautiful song, and it's what it's all about. It really is about making the decision to follow Jesus. Making a decision to follow Jesus. See, you can't change your heart. See, I couldn't change my heart. I couldn't change my ways, but I could choose to follow Jesus. I could choose to let Jesus in my thoughts. I could either be thinking about this or thinking about that or listening to this or listening to that or watching to this or watching that, or I could choose to think about Jesus. And when you choose to think about Jesus, what happens is it gives God permission to work in your life. See, Satan can't take away that choice. He can't do that. When you make a conscious choice to allow Jesus to be Lord of your thoughts, then it gives God an opportunity to work in you according to His good pleasure. Praise God. And so I started singing that song. Did I mention that I've sang that song in front of millions now? Have I mentioned that to you? Cindy said I couldn't sing. But I have sang that song in front of millions of chickens. See, I used to raise chickens for Tyson Food, and I would raise about 1 million chickens a year. And so I spent a lot of time singing that song. And I'd go, I'd walk through the chicken house. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Praise God, it changed my life. I shared that with Jack. And Jack said he had been singing that song. And Jack said, you know, I can't get it out of my heart. I said, God's going to work a miracle in your life, Jack. You just wait and see. All you got to do is give up on yourself. And you give up on yourself. And what you do is you start putting all your effort in to seeking Jesus. See, it is an effort to do that. Because we're tempted to listen to the radio. You know that while we're driving down the road? We're tempted to do that. You know, we're tempted to watch TV, all these itchy, you know, tempting TV shows. We're tempted to do that. We're tempted about getting concerned about things going on in our life and let it just overwhelm us. Maybe you got bill problems, financial problems. Maybe you got marital problems. Maybe you got boyfriend, girlfriend problems. I don't know what it is, school problems. Maybe we're tempted to just dwell on them all the time, aren't we? But Jesus says, if you just fix your eyes on me, I'll be your author and finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12:2. If you just fix your eyes on me, if you just learn to let me get a hold of your mind and heart, let me be Lord of your thoughts, Lord of your life. Praise God. Jack did that, and I had the opportunity of baptizing Jack. A free man. Free. Jesus Christ will set you free, brothers and sisters. You don't have to be a slave to that besetting sin. You don't have to be a slave to it. All you've got to do is fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1-2 talks about it's time to lay aside all those besetting sins. How are we going to do that? By fixing our eyes on Jesus. There's only one way. It works. It works, brothers and sisters. I encourage you. I challenge you. If you've got something going on in your life, maybe like doubt, maybe like worldliness, you know it. You know it. The Holy Spirit's convicting you. All you got to do is fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Jack did that. I baptized Jack. Just a couple days later, I get a telephone call, and Jack could not get out of bed. Jack died not long after that. But I want you to know. I want you to know that the day of his death, we were singing all that song, I decided to follow Jesus. His whole family singing that song, I decided to follow Jesus. I want you to know, Jack's funeral, Jack come up to me, he told me, he says, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Look me straight in the eye. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I said, because he knew as soon as he woke up, he was going to see Jesus. Brothers and sisters, what a testimony that funeral was. See, everybody knew the old Jack. Jack testified with his life and his death about Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ to change lives. I had an opportunity of baptizing his whole family. Amen. And they're still active in the church today, praising God, telling everybody there is a God in heaven that's sitting at the right hand of the Father right this very moment, interceding on your behalf, and He can save to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25. There is a God in heaven. There really is a God in heaven. And we need to tell the whole world that. We need to tell the whole world that. You know, for so long, Jack thought that the way to be good was to hold his badness in check. He really thought that. And a lot of people think that. A lot of people think the way that they can be good is to hold that badness in check. You know, just to resist it, to hold it in. But friends, that's impossible. Because badness held in check is not goodness. Badness held in check, because it's just going to last so long, and then you're going to explode. Something's going to tempt you. Something's going to happen, and you're going to be there again. You can give it up putting all your effort into trying to be good, because it won't work. Because our goodness, Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, our righteousness is what? Dirty rags, filthy rags. That's right. We ain't got it in us. If we could ever muster up enough energy to be good, Jesus Christ would not have had to die on the cross of Calvary. Amen. It's just really that simple there. You know, we're not good, period. We can do nothing apart from Jesus. Nothing apart from Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 15 and in verse 3. John chapter 15 and verse 3. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible because it really explains the type of relationship that we got to have with Jesus to make it through this whole world. John chapter 15, I pick up in verse 3. Now you are clean through the what? Word? Oh, there's something powerful about the Word of God. There's something powerful and cleansing about the Word of God. Empowered by the Holy Spirit will change your life forever. Will change your life. And what does Jesus say here in verse 4? Abide in me. It's what my Bible says. Abide in me. Now, can we abide in Him if our thoughts are over here or over there? Now, I want to be careful when I say this because I know we all got to work and everything. But I'm going to use a woman for an illustration. It could be a guy, but most women are the ones that do the sewing. If you know, sewing can be a dangerous work. It could be real dangerous because that needle's going up and down, you know, and you could poke yourself and everything else. But that needle's going up and down. Now, there's always something in the backdrop of your thought. You've got something that's the backdrop of your thought every single day. You've got something that you're meditating on every single day. And you know what it is, right? You've probably been thinking about something in the pew. I hope the Holy Spirit's waking you up, though. But anyway, if a lady, all she did was concentrate on that needle bobbing up and down, what would it do? It'd hypnotize her. Had a hard time saying that word. It would hypnotize her, right? She's got something in the backdrop of her thoughts. Jesus wants that to be Him. He wants you to abide in Him. Abide in Him and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Okay? And I am the vine, and you are the branch. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For what? For without me, you can do what? Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus Christ, friends, we can do nothing. So when we try to, when we run off to work and we hadn't given our life to the Lord and we hadn't asked Him to be Lord of our thoughts and we're conscious that He does want to dwell in our heart and in our thoughts all day long, friends, we're no match for Satan. We're no match for Him. We will fall to that besetting sin. We'll fall to that temptation, friends, every single time. We're no match for Him. No match whatsoever. And then the Bible says that we can do all things. What's Philippians 4:13 say? All things. All things. Is that just some things? Because some people think that they got some things going on in their life that they just can't get over. But what does the Bible say? All things. All things. All things. Very, very clear. All right. Now, That's amazing what the Bible teaches there. Isn't God good? That all through all things we can do that. All things. Now, I'd asked you a question earlier about if you died, went to sleep tonight, would you have eternal life? That question was asked by a teacher that I know about, and for 9 years he did a test and he asked that question. He asked that question to the young people. He says, if you died, would you have eternal life? And this is going to shock you. But do you know that out of all these kids he did for 9 years, 90% of them said that they would not? 90% of the, isn't this terrible? 90% of the girls and the boys said that if they died, that they didn't think that they would have eternal life. They didn't have assurance of it. They did not have assurance of it. They was iffy. And you know what their answer was? They didn't think they had been good enough. They didn't think they had been good enough. See, their focus was on what they were doing. Their effort was on what they were doing. You know, they would try to be good. They would try to be good. But you know, it's hard sometimes for young people and old people too to be good. Do you know that? It's really hard. If that's all you focus on, I want you to know it's hard to do that. It's hard to do that. And so what would happen? And we wonder why all of our young people are leaving the church. You know, because all they're doing is focusing on what they're doing, and they just don't feel like they're good enough, and they just get discouraged and beat up and say, well, it's just no use. I can't do it. You know, I try to be good. I try and I try and I try, and then boom, I explode and I mess up, and then I feel too unworthy to walk in that door right there. I just feel too unworthy to walk in that door. And we wonder what's happening. And this is not just happening in our church. This is happening everywhere, folks. This is happening. Take a tour around the United States. All your traditional little churches are just closing up. Because the kids just don't feel good enough. And so we've got to be real careful. We've got to be real, real careful on the picture we paint to those around us on what it means to be a Christian. On what it means to be a Christian. We've got to be very careful. We can't allow our religion to take the place of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't do that, friends. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to go through our rituals and our ceremonies and everything like that. But we got to be very careful that they don't take the place of Jesus Christ. We got to be very careful that we don't paint the picture of that's what it means for your salvation is to go through these rituals and practices and everything. We got to be very careful that we're not painting them out to be above Jesus. Because when Jesus come, that was exactly what was taking place. Do you know that? When Jesus came the first time, you know, these people had taken their rituals and their ceremonies and they had made that out to be their salvation. Did you know that? That's what had happened. The religious, all their ceremonies and the sacrificial system, they thought going through these different things is what secured their salvation. And Jesus Christ came and says, no, I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the way. There's no other salvation. There's no other name under heaven that we can be saved other than by Jesus Christ. Yes, it's good to go through all these are fruits. These are not an end in themselves. All of our rituals and our ceremonies are not an end in themselves. They're a way to find Jesus. And so we got to let our young people and our old people, we got to remind each other, it really is all about Jesus. It really is all about Jesus. We've got the truth. Here in this church, we have the truth. But I want you to know the truth is in Jesus Christ. It's got to all point to Jesus. Every one of our doctrines, every one of our prophecies, everything has got to be Christ-centered. Or it's just an empty knowledge. It will not save you. It's got to be the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. It's got to be. So, we've got to be very careful there. So, instead of pointing out to our young people and to others when they cross the line, when they're not doing this or doing that, what we need to do, and this is going to be hard. I've been there. It's going to be hard, but we've got to point them to Jesus instead of we cannot be so quick to point out their sin, but be quicker to point them to Jesus. We got to be quicker to point them to Jesus. Their only hope, if we really want to help them, we've got to point them to Jesus. Now, see, I believe God's doing a big work in our church right now. My wife right now has just got through a friend of ours in New York. Wrote a book on how to overcome a critical spirit. Yeah. Do you know that it's so easy to have a critical spirit when you know as much as we know? It's real easy. I want you to know that. But I believe that a critical spirit started in heaven with Satan. That's right, because he had a critical spirit of God's government and everything like that, and he misunderstood. And we know there was war broke out in heaven because of that. I believe if we really want to help each other, if we got love in our heart, we're supposed to have compassion on the lost. So when they mess up, instead of kicking them and telling them how bad they were and everything like that, and how they better straighten up or they're going to burn, we need to point them to Jesus Christ. We need to point them to Jesus Christ, the only hope. And that is hard to do. It's hard to do, but there's how to overcome a critical spirit. The author is named Jim Hammer. I'm not pushing the book or anything like that, but I'm encouraging you to think about this. On 3ABN Radio, they did a 26 shows on basically just talking about that on how we can handle different things that happen in the church. You know, rather than coming across critical, because Jesus didn't come to condemn, the Bible says. He came to do what? To save. So when we see somebody messing up, what we really want to do is we want to be a part of helping them, pointing them to Jesus so He can work in their life. See, our job, church, is to love them. Our job is to love them and point them to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do the convicting. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do the convicting. And so that's what God wants us to know more than any other thing. And so, really, see, sin is like a disease. Do you know that? Sin is like a disease, is what it is. And what we've been trying to do, and we as in me, because I want you to know as guilty of it as anybody else here, I'll say this. When I first became an Adventist, and I received all this truth here and everything that changed my life, all of a sudden I became very, very holy. And especially around my family. And so my boys, I had four boys, and my son come home one day, and he says, I can eat anything I want. And I said, no, you can't either. He said, no. He said, the Baptist preacher told me I could eat anything I want. All I had to do is pray over it. And I said, okay. And I did what any other good Christian Adventist dad would do. I threw him down on the ground, got on top of him. I said, no, you won't either. I've learned a lot, friends. It's the love of God that compels. It's the goodness of God that draws us, friends. You can be right and still be wrong. See, what we've got to do is we've got to be wise. We've got to be wise. God, we've got to get wisdom from above on how to really help somebody. On how to really help them. We got to understand that sin's not something that we can knock out of somebody. It's not achieved. It's received. Victory and overcoming is not something that you achieve. It's something you receive from Jesus Christ. Amen? So sin really is a disease. It really is a disease. And what we've been guilty of, what I was guilty of, is I would try to cure the sickness by treating the symptoms. Okay? Are you following me? Now I want to illustrate this. I want to illustrate this. Let's just say that who can I pick on here? Who can I pick on? All right. I'll pick on Michelle. She's sweet. She's got the sweetest smile in here, so I'll pick on her. Okay. And let's say that Michelle developed a bunch of red dots all over her. Just all over her body. Red dots. And Becky says, oh, I know what it is, daughter. You've got the measles. And everybody agreed. Yeah, probably so. Got the measles. So Michelle goes to the doctor. She goes to the doctor, and the doctor sits down. He pulls out his little... Ulysses had his magnifying glass there. He pulls out his magnifying glass. He starts looking over. He said, yep, you got the measles. We're all in agreement. She's got the measles. And so we know what she needs, right? She needs some medicine, you know. And so what the doctor does, he walks over to his cabinet, and we're thinking he's pulling out a probably going to give her a shot, you know, make her feel better, or some medicine. He pulls out sandpaper. He pulls out sandpaper, and he goes over to Michelle, and he said, put out your arm, honey. And she starts rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and rubbing. Okay? Now, sure enough, there that right red dot's gone. It rubbed it right off. It rubbed it right off. And then he proceeds to go to the rest of the dots. And finally, she just pulls away. Now, would Michelle go back to that doctor? Would Becky let her daughter go back to that doctor? No, he's a quack. Why? Yeah, why? Why would she not go back? Because what he's doing, he's treating the symptoms. Rather than the root of the problem. See, rather than the root of the problem. And so that's exactly what we do sometimes when we try to treat the symptoms. People have got things going. We try to do that. When what we need to do is get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is a lack of Jesus. When somebody has a lack of Jesus in their life, they're going to produce all kinds of different symptoms. You know, me, I would do this and this and that. And you might do this, this, this and that. You know what I mean? It's going to have all kinds of different symptoms, but every time the root of the problem is Jesus. We need more of Jesus in our life. Friends, we can't make it without Jesus. We were created for a relationship with Jesus. We were created to live with Him, abide in Him, each and every day of our life. Friends, that's what the Bible is telling us. The lack of Jesus. The real problem with sin is living a life apart from Christ. Now what we need is some gospels. You get it? Come on. What we need is some gospels. Yeah, one a day will keep the old devil away. Give me an amen. Come on. Amen. We need some gospels in our life. We need more of Jesus. Jesus really is the truth. He really is the life. He really is the way. Jesus really is. He's the only thing that can make us content. He's the only one that can give us life. Jesus Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we've all been bit by the snake bite of sin. Every one of us, we've been bit. Every single one of us. You know, we studied that Numbers 21. We've already looked at that. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We've all been bit by the snake bite of sin. And what was the only way that those people could live? They had to look. The only way that we're going to live is by looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus is the only way we're going to make it. The only way. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look to Jesus. That's not once a week. That's completely every day, 24/7, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Focused on Jesus. Look and live. See, sin is a symptom of not being connected to God. John 15, verse 5. And righteousness is a symptom of being connected to God. Philippians 4, 13. Now, 1 John 3, 6. I don't want you to miss this one. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. That's right. That's what the Bible said. Whosoever abideth. Now, that's a continuous. As soon as you let go of God, what are you going to do? You're going to sin. You're going to sin. You're going to sin. Friends, let's go back and read our scripture in closing here. It's in 1 John chapter 5. Let's read this again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things I have written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You know. See, if you get up in the morning, and you make a choice to give your life to Jesus this day, that you want Him to be Lord of your thoughts all day long, then you're guarding your thoughts and you're continuing to say, Jesus, I want You to come in. I want You to know I still get tempted. My thoughts will still stray on me, but I recognize and I go right back to Jesus. I go right back to Jesus. If you do that, it's up to Jesus to save you. Okay? It's up to Jesus to save you. It's up to Jesus to give you victory. It's up to Him to do it. And then if I'm not getting there, then it's not my fault because I've given my life to Jesus and I'm keeping my thoughts on Him. I'm doing my best and Jesus knows it. Amen? Philippians 1:6 says this. He says, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let's sing that song together. Blessed Assurance. It's number 462. You can have assurance of your salvation. Your faith is not in yourself. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. He can do it. He can save you. He can do it. Number 462. Please stand. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, rain from above. Echoes of mercies, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Thank y'all, each one of you, for having us here to spend time with you. We're going to get to spend eternity together. But we need to tell the whole world about Jesus. And how much He loves us and how much He cares about us. When He comes, will He find you faithful? Will He find you faithful sharing His love and His mercy and His grace to others? My prayer is that He will. Father in heaven, I lift up my church family here. I pray for a blessing on their life of the Holy Spirit. I pray that You fill them with the Holy Spirit, that they could be faithful witnesses of Your love. That they would tell the whole world, the whole community around them, Lord, how good You are, how merciful You are, how compassionate You are. That they would meet the needs of the people in this community, Lord. That they would be Your hands and feet, Lord. That they would fill this church full of Your children. That this church could be a hospital for sinners. That they could come and be restored and healed. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. 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 Praise God.